to Real Career Talk. I'm your host, Phil Burkett. This is a monthly interview brought to you by the Network National, where we spend 30 minutes with internal and external experts discussing career hot topics. Those topics include our 2021 talent development pillars, including adaptability, mentoring, sponsorship, advocacy, continuous learning, and building relationships for you, your career, and your organization. I am honored to have with us today esteemed guest, Director of Financial Analysis, my friend, Mara Thrillkill. How you doing, Mara?
I'm doing well, Phil. Nice to see you.
It is so good to see you as well. So let's start out. We got about 30 minutes, so let's talk. Just first of all, let the audience know who you are and tell us a little bit about your role.
Okay. So I am AT&T employee for about 23 years. And before I get to my current role, I started in sales. And I started in Kalamazoo, Michigan, small town in maybe about an hour outside of Chicago. Chicago is home for me. Started in sales, but within the 23 years, I was very fortunate to kind of work my way through AT&T. So I started in sales, moved over to credit and collections.
Okay.
Did that for about a year or two, and then transitioned out of the credit and collections world, which was mostly call center. You know, I did the regular sales, did credit and collections consumer, did credit and collections business, government accounts, medical, all of that good stuff. But then I had the opportunity to transition out of the call center, and I started on the support side, and I did credit policy, where we kind of wrote the rules around what happens when you go into a store to buy a phone. So we did that. Very interesting. And then we did credit operations, where we kind of wrote the process when you go into call center. I mean, you go into the store and you have someone meet you and they're going through what you need to pay. We did that for a little bit. But most recently, fast forward, about a year ago, I went into risk management, and that was really interesting. Risk management pretty much is an organization that manages and saves AT&T from ourselves. And what I mean by that is, if there's an accident that we cause, it will come through that group. If someone, for some reason, harms AT&T employees, it will come through that group. So that was risk management. We did that for about a year. But most recently, my title changed to Director of Financial Analysis. And really, in short, what it is I work with the global payroll team. So my team is responsible for what we call growth to net payroll deductions and operations. And what we do is garnishment, employment tax. We do executive compensation, overpayments, voluntary deductions, court orders, just a whole lot of miscellaneous things. All things payroll kind of comes through our organization.
Mara, I got to tell you, with that experience, you're well-rounded. You know, I mean, my goodness, someone having you as a mentor, it would be phenomenal, right? It would be
phenomenal.
But now I got to ask you before we get to the nitty gritty, shall we say? Am I allowed to say that? I think I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
Nitty gritty. It's a really important question since you, my hometown girl here, deep dish, thin slice.
All the way thin slice. Sorry.
I'm telling you, I think they get it wrong. They think Chicago, they think deep dish. I think people are missing out on that thin slice pizza here in Chicago, right?
Very good. Very good pizza. My favorite one, if I can do a shout out, this is outside. I don't know if I can tell, but it's a small little pizza joint way south in Glenwood. I won't say the name in case, you know, we can't say that, but it's I think they only have two of them in the Chicagoland area. Some of the best pizzas you can ever have.
Right. Right. You got to love it. You got to love it. All right. Mara, I agree with you. I won't say my favorite. Maybe we'll talk offline.
Right. Right.
All right. All right. Let's get right to it. So, share with me in your own words, Mara, when you think of the meaning of these three words, mentoring, sponsorship, and advocacy.
So when I think of mentorship, I think of a position in someone's life where it can be a lateral contribution. It can be above and it can be below you. So a mentor can be your boss. It can be a peer. It can be someone that you are, in fact, managing. or it can be two or three levels above you. It's just a whole lot of feedback coming at you from all levels. Usually in a mentorship role, you're getting advice, you're getting coaching, you're getting some sort of teaching and direction. It could be based on professional, it could be professional image, it could be, you know, some skill set that you need. But that's what I think of when I think of mentorship. You can get it in church. I get a lot from my 16-year-old. He mentors me on social media. So it's one of those things that kind of floats around through all, you know, different levels in your life. That's what I think of when I think of mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
But sponsors and advocate kind of flow through, you know, with the definitions. So for a sponsor, that's usually someone who advocates for you, but the catch is usually they're at a senior level. So okay. They can make things happen. Right. So you got an advocate who's like your attaboy and they're rooting for you, but this should be at a very high level, a senior level based on your level. So maybe two levels above you is usually the guidelines. Then the advocate, this should be someone who knows you, knows Phil's strengths, have experienced his performance, can say yay or nay, you know, is Phil good at interviewing people or not, and has experienced that. And it's really giving kudos for you whenever possible, when you're not present. An advocate and a sponsor usually happens when you're not there. They're sitting at a table where you're not present, and they're rooting for you. So that's how it flows. So the difference between an advocate and a sponsor is the sponsor usually is a higher level, senior leadership, a senior leader in your organization, doing kind of the same thing that an advocate would do.
I want to ask you something real quick in regards to mentoring. We were talking about mentoring, an experienced or trusted advisor, shall we say. Can a friend be a mentor?
I would say yes. Because, again, the mentor, especially when you've built a good relationship, they should be able to hand it to you straight. And usually if you've got a good friend, they're going to tell it to you straight, you know, and that's how I look at it. A mentor shouldn't be someone who's sugarcoating anything. They're telling you it like it is. So if you have a friend in that role, they can be a mentor also, in my view.
Excellent. And we have our, here at the Network National, in the network, we, audience, just remember, we have our own group network mentoring circle, as well as one-on-one mentoring, and it's available to you through our mentoring program. So the next question I have for you is kind of two part. What's the critical development component when it comes to mentoring, to including mentoring? And then I'm kind of shifting a little on this next question. What's the best piece of advice a mentor has given you?
So I'll take the critical piece of development first. I think it's transparency. Transparency and trust. And the reason I say that is if you have a mentoring relationship and you have a mentee come on and they're pretending to have all these strengths and just this best person since sliced bread, a mentor cannot really help them because they're thinking you're already very articulate. You're already very whatever it is that you're trying to develop, right? But if you're transparent, and you can expose yourself and be comfortable doing that in a mentoring relationship, you can get some really, really good coaching and development. So I would think transparency has to be there. And that relationship has to be a very trusting relationship. So I would say transparency and trust work hand in hand to get that relationship off and running. And once that's there, then it's an open conversation. It's a very, I don't want to say curt, but it's candid. A candid conversation. You can stop beating around the bush and tell the person exactly what they need to know to move to the next step of development or enhancement. As far as the best advice I've gotten from a mentor, it was the grass is greener where you water it. So usually the saying is the grass is greener on the other side.
Yes.
So as a young AT&T manager, I was always looking on the other side. I need you to promote me. I need you to send me to this place. I need you to do this for me. And she's like, well, why don't you just water this grass? Let's see how it flourishes. And if it flourishes and it looks so good, like true green has been through here, somebody is going to come and look and say, who did this? And then that would be your your foot in the door. And the so I take that and I use it against, I'm from Africa, from Monrovia, Liberia. And my mother used to say, if you are a sweeper on the street, sweep so well that when the president walks across your area, it'll be like, who swept this area? And that'll be your foot in the door. So it goes back to the whole, wherever you're planted, water it, do a phenomenal job there, and your work will speak for you versus the other way.
And that ties back to when you think about that advocate, that person, when you think about that advocate or that sponsor, it's not who you know, but who knows you. And what often stands in that room but your work? Sometimes you can't go in and influence anyone, but your work will be there, and it will speak for itself. That's a great point.
Yeah, it stands on its own. I am.
What?
Yep. Okay. I call Chicago home, but I'm from Monrovia, Liberia. But Chicago has been home for me since I landed here.
So. Okay. So I want to go back to something that you mentioned a few moments ago. You mentioned transparency and trust. A lot of discussion we have in leadership courses that talks about trust. Without trust, feeder trust. Without trust, you're going to have a hard time building a relationship. Without trust, with trust, let's go that route. With trust, it makes everything work a lot faster, hence the course by hence the course speed of trust, right? So, but you mentioned transparency. For a mentee, how do they identify when there is lack of transparency with a mentor? That was phenomenal talking about transparency. Your transparency has to be there. How do you identify when it's not? What are some indicators for you?
Mm-hmm. Right. It's when I call it the storybook conversation. So if you're having that 30-minute coffee with your mentor and you can literally pull up a Covey book and read exactly what they're saying to you, then you're wasting your time with that mentor. You might as well go and get a good book and read it. Right. But when the examples are true life stories, when they can connect with you on what is happening, it's telling stories help. If I have a mentee and I can tell them that I was hired as a first line manager and the struggles I went through and how I became whoever I am today, they can connect with me. That transparency, and it includes talking about my failures, being able to say I failed. You know, and this is what I did as a result of that. What that does is that transparency helps that mentee get more comfortable. When I tell them I failed, guess what? They're going to be telling me all their failed stories. And together, we can talk about how we fix it going forward. But that has to happen. That's that relationship building piece. And that's that, you know, connecting with that person personally, professionally, whichever way you can to get to the next step.
It's interesting you mentioned talking about failures. I was teaching in a mentoring session for a group of high schoolers, graduates, and I talked about one of my failures. And a young lady came up to me at the end of the course and was in tears. And she said, I'm so glad that you were sharing where you made a mistake, because I've been told I can't make mistakes. And I'm like, how do you have that type of coaching where someone says, you have to be perfect, because then you're not prepared for that opportunity where you can reflect or turn around and grow or pivot where needed. So that actually, Mara, leads me to my next question. What is the biggest waste of time for a mentor in a mentoring session?
The biggest waste of time?
Yeah.
I think it's where the mentee doesn't really have any path. You know, what do you want to get out of the session? Because I found that, and I've been a mentor and a mentee. So when I'm going to a mentoring session, I have an agenda of some sort. I know where I want to be. I'm not quite sure how to get there. Or if I don't know where I want to be, I come with, this is all the stuff I want to do. Can you guide me? There has to be some structure there. So the biggest waste of time is someone saying to you, I want to get on your calendar for 30 minutes every month. and we can talk. And then you bring the person on, you're like, hi, how you doing? What pizza do you like? You shoot the breeze, and then you just got off the call and nothing happened. Or you give them suggestions that they do nothing with. So usually in my mentoring sessions, I'll give them an assignment at the end of the session. I'll say, why don't you go and pull your appraisal from last year and pull your strengths and see how those strengths transfer into other roles. I'll give them an assignment. So when I bring them back the next week, I'll say, tell me about your assignment. Well, if they're going around in circles, they really didn't do it. Because the mentoring sessions is your best investment in yourself as an employee or as a person. I mean, think about, you know, our first mentor. My first mentor would have been my parents, my mom. I'm a mentor to my kids, right? So you're kind of shaping them and giving them coaching. But at the end of the day, they're learning, to your point, Phil, when you talk about failing. You got to allow them to fail fast. One of my bosses says, fail fast so they can learn. But if you're doing it all for them, then your mentoring's not working. It's a waste of time.
If you stumble forward, right? Stumble forward.
Right. Stumble forward, yep.
Stumble forward or fail fast. That's great. All right.
Fail fast,
So is it possible? So then what's the best way for me as a mentee to attract that sponsor or that advocate? What has worked for you when you want to get that highly influential person in your fold? What's the best way to do it?
I think it starts with, you know, the advice I receive, you know, water that grass where it is, you know, the grass is greener where you water it. So if I'm in, I was in collections, and if I do a very good job at the first level, chances are if I go to my boss asking for him to be my mentor, he will gladly jump on it. Who doesn't want to be with a winner, right? Who doesn't want to be with a winner? Because now I'm saying, look at what I'm doing. What you hired me for, I'm doing a phenomenal job. Now I need that next step, and I'm looking to you because you have some strengths that I see I can get connected with for you to take me to the next step. So the first thing I would say is performance. Do your job so it speaks for you. When someone says Mara, that's the biggest advertisement. What do people think when they hear that name? Are they thinking that I'm a high performer? Am I just silly? Do I waste people's time? Do I do a good job? So put that time in there and then make your value count. So I say that to mean, for someone to take their time, a mentee is doing this on their own time. So there's, you know, the most priceful possession right now is time, right? Nobody has time. But if I know I'm putting that time into someone that is valuable, whether it's for that organization, for the company, I'm going to do it with no problem. So I think those are the two main things. Do really well at what you're doing so your job speaks for you and you're ready for that next step. And then definitely make sure that you have a plan, some kind of plan. You know, I tell my mentees all the time, I said, when you choose a mentor, what are you selecting them based on? Is it just that it's a nice VP? You heard him speak at a conference. What do you see you can gain from him? Have something in mind. You know, I want to interview like Phil. So I'm going to see if Phil can teach me how to do that. Right. So then you connect with Phil. Well, that's going to be an easy transition. You have met him where you are, and he can give you that candid feedback to get you ready for the next step.
Have you ever had a scenario, and this is really something I'm just thinking of right now, where you say, I want to give them a chance. Maybe their paperwork isn't necessarily showing everything, but how often does it happen for you as a mentor where you say, you know what, my gut reaction says, Mara's that one I want to try. Has that ever happened for you, Mara, where it wasn't necessarily in the tea leaves? You know what I'm saying? Talk to me more about that.
So when I was in the call center is full of, you know, the first line that reps, and they're just there taking call after call, either selling or collecting, right? And that's what they're doing. And most times you're not looking to them to become managers. But what I would do is, if I see one of the ways that someone can attract a mentor also is by raising your hand for other projects. So you may be not so good, but maybe there's a project, you know, going on that your skill set is aligned for that. Raise your hand and do that. So in my first few years of AT&T, I was able to coach some first line reps into becoming first line managers, right? Mm-hmm. And the idea mm-hmm. behind that, you saw a skill set that may not have been needed on the phone, but that was really, really good as a manager. They were influencers. Mm-hmm. They were the, you know, the party. If I could get her to get a negative message across, that would be great. So of course, I'm going to build the other skills. And that's where that mentorship will come in. I would sit with you and say, hey, Phil, you're really good. You're not so good at collecting, but man, you're good at giving feedback. You're great at customer service stuff. You're good at, if you want to, we can work on developing those skills for that next step to align you better for something that may be aligned for other skill sets. So yes, I've done that several times. And I've got quite a few little managers out there that have proven me right, that they had skills that just were not aligned in the positions they were at that time, but have done really well for second, third levels. So.
And they flourished. Awesome.
Absolutely.
You know, I guess I want our audience to understand, you might not always fit into the parameters established, but you might have some type of component in leadership that's needed in that environment, in that organization, that they might not see offhand. And don't fear, I always look to promote yourself, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I had a manager in one of my first centers. She wasn't really good at coaching and development because she didn't like giving bad news. You know, you have to put a person on a step and discipline them. She really didn't enjoy that. But right. She was really good in PowerPoint, in the incentives, you know, when we had to do big events, she would jump in there and just, and we had a position open and it was for an incentive manager. Well, you knew I went running to her right away. I was like, this is made for you. Are you interested? Of course, we had to teach her Excel, you know, so she could be able to track her payments and the other administrative things. But she was directly aligned to that position and did really well, enjoyed it. Something that would have driven me crazy, like running around shopping for all that stuff. She enjoyed it. So it was a match made in heaven. And she was able to find her path down that route versus just staying and being so frustrated in coaching and development, which wasn't really not for her.
So let's continue down that path. Now, when I used to teach the branding course, we used to always say, in one of the exercises, I'd say, tell me, what do you think of this person? That person is promoting themselves. And the students in the course would say, well, they seem kind of like, you know, promoting themselves too much. So let's talk about that. Is it possible that one can advocate for themselves? And then what does that look like?
I'd be the first one to say yes. And that was a lesson learned. That was not easy for me. You know, coming from a culture, being from Africa, where modesty, it was frowned upon. If you came out and said, I'm the GOAT, I'm the best one ever, you couldn't say things like that. You know, you're modest and you worked, you put your head down, you worked and worked and worked. And somewhere there, someone's going to know that Mara's doing a very good job and promote her. Well, I learned, again, going through the mentors and the mentees, that you need to be the number one advocate for yourself. It doesn't mean that you're screaming and hollering all the time that Mara is the best, but you're showing people that you are the best. So I give you so much good stuff. You have no choice but to choose Mara. That's the job. That's how you advocate for yourself. So if I'm in this new role that I just got and it's payroll and, you know, I'm learning everything new and I get myself up and running, coming into that group and bragging about everything that I think I have to bring to the table would not buy me anything but resentment. But if I start doing those things and helping my peers and helping my boss and advocating, oh, Mara's good in this, they're the ones bringing that to light. And then I can echo it. But I really think, and that's something that, you know, culturally, it's a challenge for some of the cultures, including Africa.
Sure.
And then even for females, it's even harder for females. Females will work really hard, but not necessarily tell the story as far as, you know, I'm your best candidate. We don't do really well in that. We dance around it. But I think that comes with that maturity that you should be able to say, look at my work. Look at what I've done. Look at 3 years. I've been a high performer, exceeding the goal by 15% or whatever it is. The facts, right? Bringing the facts to light. And that's the way you advocate for yourself. You have to know what you're doing, not just I'm the best thing since sliced bread.
I love what you just said. You have to be able to make that fact come to life, right. and it be real for that influencer, and it be real for that next official or that next leader in how it can contribute to their business and their organization. These are all great points. My final question, we're nearing the end here. My final question for you, Mara. Now, there was a common theme that we heard last year in a lot of our discussions when it came to mentoring. We talked about in networking. A lot of the officials were like, and executives were like, look, I want to just hear what you're trying to get from me. You know, sometimes it's about the other way. And we've heard a lot of executives say this last year. And so giving back, let's talk about giving back. We heard you talk about, hey, here's how I advocate, understanding there's a thin line between confidence and bragging, and then bringing that information to life, right? What are some ways then that we can give back to that mentor and to that sponsor and or advocate or some other supporter for me in my career? How can I give back to them?
I'll give you an example. I have a mentor that I've had, oh my God, at least 18 years. Our paths crossed, and I think I only directly worked for her for maybe 2 months, but mm-hmm. she was so much like me from a natural perspective. I just glued myself. And what I would do as far as going back to advocating for myself, at the end of the year, I would grab 3 high points from my appraisal, and I would send her a note. Hey, hi, how are you doing? How are the kids? How the cat? How the dog? Look, this year was fantastic. Here are the 3 things I did. And by the way, I know your organization is looking for this. Here's a skill set. I'll be happy to help you and or help someone on your team get up to speed. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. One of her groups was struggling with the employee surveys. Their scores were horrible. The group I was with, our scores were high. We had gone through some changes and we were doing really, really well. But because she saw that note, going back again to bragging on myself, right? I had sent her my 3 high points, and one of those high points was my ENPS score. Mm-hmm. She picked up the note. She called me and she's like, look, I see your score is whatever it was at the time. Do you mind working with my team on some of the things that have worked in your group? Well, absolutely. So I didn't go there and fix the numbers, but I served as a mentor for a group of her managers to get them to pick up. So yeah, it becomes a good give and take relationship. And that's why I talk about, it could be peers, it could be your boss, it could be your child, it could be that mentoring relationship moves into so many directions. And it's most effective when it's a give and take. It's most effective when it's a give and take. So, yeah, I think that we fall short in that area sometimes, that we just want and we soak, but we never put anything out there. And sometimes you say, well, I don't know what she needs. That's okay. Tell her what you got. Mm-hmm. Tell her what you got. And then let her look and say, whoa, my mentee can write appraisals, or my mentee is great at PowerPoint, or whatever it is. But once you do that, then you can come around and ask for assistance. Sometimes that works.
I think these are all powerful words and great insight that you're sharing with our audience today. And we're near the end, Mara. Wow.
Okay. This was fun.
I want you to know it's been an honor and a privilege. I think you're a wonderful, wonderful leader in the business. And I just want to give you the opportunity in a minute or so, just your last final thought, views, perspectives that you would like to leave with the Network National audience.
I would say that, you know, I think right now one of the challenges that we're going through as employees is change. Right. So everyone's going through just change and change and change. And the only thing that doesn't change is change. So this is the best time for self-assessment, looking for mentors. So you start with that self-assessment. You know where your strengths and your areas of opportunity are, and you're transparent to yourself. Right. And then go out there, research, and find a mentor, but most importantly, and I think you touch on the three pieces, mentor, sponsor, and advocate, we do a great job. We get over-mentored. I mean, we got mentors coming at us from every level, but we don't have sponsors. Who's talking for you? Who's there when you're not there? So put some time into that. Again, the sponsor is that senior leader. Who's the senior leader in your organization? Type them an email. Hey, my name is Mara. I'm in your organization. I've worked with you. Hopefully you've got some sort of relationship. Would it be too much if I asked that you sponsor me? If they come back and say no, then why? So you can fix whatever that thing is and come back around. You told me to go and, you know, see a man about a dog. I went and saw the man about the dog. Now what? But so invest some time in finding sponsors and advocates. Mentors are good, but when you learn all you can learn, find someone that will speak on your behalf when you're not there. That's the one advice I would give to our group.
Mara, it's been awesome. I believe the network national audience would benefit, and hopefully they were taking notes. Remember, how do you make that fact become life? Oh my goodness, that's so powerful. I want to thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your insights that you shared. Thank you for your transparency. It's been an honor. And audience, we look forward to seeing you all at our next session. Stay powerful.
Thank you.